Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome. What are you welcoming to? Welcome to my show, Looking for My Give a Fuck, episode, you guys, 20. Can you believe that? Hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd. Good morning, good afternoon, or good whatever you are listening to this, if you're listening to me in the archive. I like the live, but I guess the live is just recorded archive. Anyway, you know, there's times I forget to give the number of my show that you can call in. Usually I'm just like talking to myself. And, you know, I just have my vibe going on, but I'm going to touch on a couple of things today, and some people might want to give me a call, but if not, that's okay. I got it covered for 30 minutes. I am a motor mouth, right? So anyway, the host number, if you just want to call in or just sit on the line, and there's this option, you can just call in if you're unable to maybe listen to me on the computer, whatever. So you just simply call in, and there is an option where it says you can listen to the show or push 1 if you want to say something. If you want to say something, push 1. I see it on this studio board. I'll pick it up and we'll vibe. However, if you're one of my enemies or people who are just malicious who put a few things on my Facebook page this morning, I can tell you this. I have the power of disconnecting you from my show and actually disconnecting you from my mind, my spirit, and my being, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, the call-in host, no, that's my number. Wait. There's all these three numbers on this board. I wish I could show you guys this. Okay, so if you guys want to call in, the call-in number is 563-999-3453. That number again is 563-999-3453. Okay, and I'll see that as often as I possibly can. I told a couple of friends maybe to call in or at least listen to the show today. Anyway, like I was saying, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time it may be where you are. Gosh, one thing, let's talk about the weather in California. It's finally raining and it feels amazing. However, I forget, once it gets below 70 degrees, we are freezing. So I want everyone to know on the East Coast, it's officially maybe 70 degrees outside, and Mother does have the heat on, and she's dressed up like an Eskimo, and so am I, and so is the dog. He has a sweater on. And so anyway, I just wanted to have a bit of a California funny moment, and that was important to me, and hopefully you guys laugh. Okay, you know what? I'm doing a Wendy Williams thing. I'm going to take a sip of my tea this morning. I haven't had time because I was dealing with a few other things. Give me a minute. Ah, that was good. I am happy that several weeks ago or months ago now, I had the privilege of sitting with my mom and my brother and talking about their stances on a lot of things. And politics happened to be one of them, and it turned out that I didn't agree with them. So again, if you don't know the premise of the show, I'm looking under the table. My brother says, what are you doing? I said, looking for my give a fuck, and that's kind of like where this title came from. But then he followed up because he began to realize that my conversation and my growth about everything, about me, about life, about politics, about others' opinions and all that, had finally properly awakened in himself. And what I mean by that is I'm able to listen to the totality of all arguments. I don't have to agree with not one of them, but I do have to respect others, at least to listen. So upon that, he handed over a book to me, and it's so cool. It's called The Power, what's the name of it? Oh, it could be two. Okay. Eckhart Tolle had a book, The Power of Now. This is a new book, The New Earth. Okay, it's the second book, and it really talks about the ego. It's really, really based on the ego. And, you know, it talks about kind of like where the ego was established or how I interpret the book. And again, no, I'm not giving any monies off this book, or am I not throwing it at others? This is just the first book that I had an opportunity to find that had tools to help with things like ego. Excuse me. And what it brought to light was how the ego is something that they definitely, okay, sorry, someone's thinking. Anyway, it's about the ego. And it's about how that ego, it's so funny now that I'm having like dual conversations in my mind. Yes, oh wait, bipolar, someone said I was that, by the way, but no. What I'm trying to say is this. The ego is a very important part of our growth. It's also a hindrance when it tends to lead us in growth. And so what happens as I read this book, my translation of it or what I'm getting out of it or the tools I'm getting out of it is when I begin to act automatically out of something that I, for some reason, have acknowledged in that moment, why am I doing that or where did that come from? Again, in that moment, I've learned from using the tools in this book to sit back and go, whoa, whoa, where did that come from? How am I like that? What am I feeling like that? Okay. And what I like about this book is that most people go to counseling and they start reliving their whole lives with their counselors, do talk therapy, and it starts to come up. And, you know, it's really hard for your whole world just to be regurgitated in 45 minutes or an hour at a time. Not most of us can go to counseling every single day, but you have to hold it and regurgitate again the following week, however your sessions are set up. But the bottom line is holding and regurgitating. Well, part of the holding and regurgitating is that the regurgitation, made up a word, but a lot of the stuff that you're regurgitating is a part that has to come back and revisit the soul in order to just get a better outlook on life or a better look on life, right? And so this whole book has just allowed me to really, really grow. And I didn't understand what grow meant at the time until today. What I understood about growth is not just getting older, not just getting a new job, you know, or not, you know, doing something that you didn't do yesterday. Growth is being able to, in my opinion, deal with something differently than the manner in which you dealt with it before. That's important. This morning I got up really early and I made some sausage, and my other show hosts, they know I don't know how to cook, but every Sunday I try to make a little bit of food. This time I did very well. So I started thinking about topics of the show and what I've been watching on TV over the weekend, and I really was hyped, and I'm still going to talk about that. It's about cults and the elements of being in a cult and how the world contradicts ego, which you should understand. The world's very contradictive in my opinion. So I'm doing that. I'm thinking I'm still suffering a little bit with this cold I have, or I don't know if it's a cold or whatever it is. I think I have COVID and that upper respiratory infection and the flu all at the same time, which means by summer I might be better. So I still have all that. But, you know, hey, I was doing my show, I was vibing this morning and was all good. And I get a messenger message from my best friend. And there's a picture of me, and I'm cute. No. No, I'm kind of cute, a little bit. At my age, I'm still alive, therefore I'm cute, right? And it was really weird because she laughed and she sends me this thing like, who's this chick Shirley doll brown, okay? And I'm sharing this for you guys for a reason. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, my real last name is Brown, so I'm thinking, okay, Lori, her last name's Brownie. So I'm like, it's early in the morning for me, you know, I'm still cooking my breakfast. And I'm like, what is my friend talking about? I don't want to say her name because she didn't authorize me to do that. And ultimately, and I thought, you know, I know my best friend, and if she's really concerned, you know, she's going to pick up the phone and call me. So when I noticed that she sent me a messenger thing, I thought, stop there. Growth. The growth is, before I assumed anything about, well, why didn't my best friend pick up the phone and call me about this? This is horrible. I thought about it. I thought about her character. Key. A lot of times something will happen in my experience. Someone will do something that I think is out of the ordinary. I've known them for 10 years, 5 years, 3 years. And it's just not their default character. I would react to it negatively instead of saying, wait a minute. Wait, this is not their default. Maybe they didn't know about this. Wait, where did this come from? But instead, I make accusations based on failure to look at what I'm looking at to determine maybe that's not their default character. Again, a lot of times what happens in relationships when I was with people is that a response would be something a little different than I had received previously. And I didn't think about the totality of the person's character and who they are. I just I would jump on that, that it would be this negative thing I would turn it into. And what it ultimately would be something very similar to like my friend has here. It's kind of like, whoa, Shirley, you know, I didn't know, well, let's look at the totality of this thing. So anyway, I finally said, what are you talking about? And I text her and then I got it and it said some horrible things. You look on my Facebook page and I will be more than happy to read it in a minute. But anyway, so what I'm talking about is when my friend sent me this, and it was, like I said, it's not very nice, and she sent it by way of messenger, the first thing was, wait, this is not Tasha. This is, if she thought this was something heavy duty, she would pick up the phone. And then I sent her a text. Oh, sorry, Tasha, I said your name. You're my best friend anyway. And so then we text, and I couldn't find where she said, it's on your page. And it happened to be a response from a quote that I had posted. Someone responded to it in a negative. And the negativity was not just the wording, but they took a picture of mine. Again, I want you to see it on Facebook, and they called me a bipolar slut bag fucking on. That's probably my angel telling me not to cuss, but I'm going to say this is what I'm reading. Bipolar slut bag fucking on your brother's schizophrenic tramp. I was like, wow. Now, because the name was Brown on there, I thought my friend was telling me, my brother's, our real last name is Brown, so I thought somebody was like, hey, Doll Brown, Tom on Dirk, what did your sister do now, right? And so I sent it to my brother because I have no idea what this is. And then at that point, it didn't matter as to where it came from. It began to matter as to how it manifested within my soul. And thank God for the show. Thank God for my growth. Thank God for just growing up, yeah, it's ego, because, excuse me, my teeth. I didn't get a chance to have my lemon water this morning, okay? I got froggy. Not froggy jump, but, like, okay, anyway. So, it was the fact that initially this would have stunned me, like, oh, my God, right? But remember, the show is really about that ego. What was this? What was I going to do with it? How was I feeling about this? Where did this come from? Well, you know, for 1 second, I'm going to flip to something that's a little off point, but on direct point. Yesterday, my brother sent me the new song or song that was leaked by R. Kelly, I admit. And he admitted everything, but, you know, all sins to God. I think he admitted all that. But it was funny, I admit. So I come back here, and I said to myself, wow. This person who wrote this, it could have been in haste. It could have just been mean, just, you know, just being a troll. But a lot of people in my past have insinuated, oh, you're bipolar, you're crazy. You know, not really the schizo. I mean, I don't really hear people talking to me unless they say, are you going to get up and go to work? I don't know if that's the alarm clock or three other people. Oh, you're bipolar, you're this, you're that. Well, you know, let me talk about that for a minute, because between accusations in the past and what I'm working on today allows me to, quote unquote, be like R. Kelly and to discuss who I am and not really give 2.5 for real damns about what anyone thinks about me. Previously to this sudden growth, I would say when I mean sudden growth, I mean really understanding, not giving a fuck about what someone says about you, but not hurting yourself or feeling bad about yourself, and not even worrying about who did it, for the universe will take care of that or not. But I'm here to share with everyone who calls people bipolar or have emotional this and that. Let's use a metaphor real quick. Bipolar is defined as a highs and lows, okay? Extreme highs, extreme lows. I would like to share with everyone, pre-COVID, most of us were living on highs. After COVID, we hit an automatic low. So therefore, we all are pretty much defined as bipolar, right? I just thought that. We were all high in the sky, the next day, boom, down. That goes with my cold conversation in a minute, but bam, boom. Okay. I want to explain something to people that have not walked in my shoes. Everything I have done, has come from a place that I cannot define. For instance, I posted my mom, there's a picture of me in cheerleading, and they reminded me, I was in this everyone took the cheerleading course, and I took a dance production in high school, and so my best friend taught me all the cheers so I could audition, as everyone in that class auditioned to be a cheerleader. And I was the first cheerleader to get on the cheerleading squad without taking the course. That had nothing to do with me, per se. It had something to do with a hell of a friend. Every day after class, my best friend would come and say, you know, I don't know if I have the skills that you do. And she taught me the bucket, the candlestick. She taught me. And she was her and my other friend. And she was my first person when I made that list. And she walked with me to that class, the cheerleading class I didn't even know existed. When people were talking about me, who is she? Oh, my God, this person. And she couldn't take me further into the classroom because she wasn't allowed. But I was always a doorway. She was always there. I have another friend, too, who were a little estranged, but we were like three peas in a pod. So what I'm saying is, I'm a person that people say, you know what, Shirley, I might not have this, but you do. So when I have made it in this world, it has been the backbone of people who have unselfishly given me the tools, whether it's advice, whether it's skill, whether it's straight love. So therefore, when I took that class, I didn't take that class, and I auditioned and became this cheerleader. It wasn't just me on that show. It was my best friend. It was my mom. My stepfather just committed suicide. It was maybe his spirit of, you got this. He always believed that I could do much more than I had it, you know, felt like I could do. So sometimes on the outside, everyone's looking at other people, and of course, because their ego or how things are driven, they are making assumptions. And for years, I have measured my greatness based on the negativity of what people have had to say about me. You are damn right. If you look up the definition of bipolar, there's no ups or downs and all that, like, spending it on that crazy shit. But I want to see how many of you could survive a suicide when you're watching a football game. And you and your stepsister are looking at the game when there's rumbling in the stands that somebody on the hill has killed themselves. And you and your sister keep looking forward. And when the game is over, we chose to take time to get home. I don't know how we got home, but we did. And we're coming up this hill on Garber, and we're seeing at that time as the coroner's office. I'm not sure. Two sisters, stepsisters, that stepped out on the same gravity of who we were when we left the house became two different individuals when we went back. My sister, I will say her name in honor, Michelle. She went her way and I went mine. We were a blended family, and at that moment, everyone was at war in the living room. My mom was being questioned at the police department for hours. My auntie, Aunt Patsy, was in the middle of this living room arguing with the other mothers. Again, blended family. I walked past everyone because sometimes my stepfather was me. And I had read this book that said, Dear God, It's Me, Margaret. And if you guys can remember that book, remember at the cover of the book, she's in this glass, like a glass. And I remember that instant that I became sheltered in that glass. 13, 14, maybe 15, I don't quite remember. Nothing touched me. Nothing bothered me. I don't even remember seeing the looks on my other brothers and sisters' faces. I went and I fixed it. What do you mean by that, Charlie? Well, the body had already been removed. So I proceeded to clean the wall. I asked my older brother, I believe he was here at the time, or someone please help me take the mattress because he killed himself in the bed. My mother was laying close by. To get it out of the house. And I began, as everyone was in the middle of the living room fighting, to fix it. So I want everyone out there to know that my emotional, mental, it's not just a physical, because I'm still affected, it stopped at 13, 14. Nothing bothered me. I led my life to my ego, which was, dear God, it's me, Margaret, and Ace. Covered in a glass. You could not touch me. As I got older, I built even, I think, metal around it. Why? How can you say that, Shirley? Well, when they put you on Prozac because you went out and tried to beat your boyfriend up, your head clamps. So now I have no emotional or mental. What I mean by that is when you completely detach from the outcome, you just do whatever the fuck you want to do. One friend said to me, the difference between you being on prescription medication, this is before it was talked about, and me smoking weed or whatever I do, the difference is this. Oh, no, actually, she said there is no difference. She just said you just made better decisions, such as your addiction was going to school. People laughed about that. No, I'm just really smart. I just couldn't figure out. What was going to make me feel? What can I touch and feel? So I went to school to get what was going to make me. How could I break out of this thing that I had now put a metal in the mind and soul? I mean, I'm just all surrounded with that. Fuck that. And now I think about it. I went to law school with Bucky. I got my master's with Bucky. And what that means is this. I don't give a fuck. I just did my shit and I was good at it. Can you imagine if I went to those schools and I loved what I did? So sometimes if we all were to stop, we have emotional ups and downs when we get up in the morning, just like after COVID, we don't know. We're all like all fucking, you know, in quicksand. What the hell is gonna happen next, right? We are, I mean, we should be. But that's how most people live. We don't know what's gonna happen. And no one trained us how to deal with ups and downs emotions. You got to get up to get out there and make it happen. But when I would finally come home and break, I'd cry alone. Was I bipolar? Or was I just trying to make it? Or was I trying to get back that innocence prior to wiping off blood on a wall? So what I say to this social media fiasco that thinks it's okay to be rude and mean and hurt people. You're not going to do that to me or the people I love because I will not be led by my ego. If you think I'm bipolar, schizophrenic, I mean, you can think all those things. And the reason this post bothers me is because in my community, people think I'm crazy. That's the craziest bitch I know. The craziest, smartest bitch I know. You know, all that. That used to bother me. It don't bother me now. Because I understand the ego. I understand the importance of me to go back and relive the moments before I chose to hide. And dear God, it's me, Mark. You didn't push me into self-wondering why you would say something so degrading about me. Because I know it comes from someone out there that believes it's funny. Because that's what you guys wanted to do, pull me down. The only person that can pull me down is me. And let me tell you something, I have done it enough for all y'all out there that hates on me or other people. So give it up. The last thing I want to say about this rude thing here is that the First Amendment is real. Speak your mind. Do you. If I spend that much time in your mind, even if it's 2 seconds, to take my picture and audit it and, you know, edit it into your hatred, that rock on. But when you do, put Miss Shepherd on it. Okay? Respect the person you hate. Because I'm always going to respect me and honor me. So therefore, let more of these come, if that's what it may. You will receive the same response. It's Miss Shepherd with your ugly. That's what this journey has been able to bring me to today. I am so proud that I can look at the stance and look at the ego and see what it's doing and go back and come back right here on this show in open form like R. Kelly did on his song, I Admit. To say, I admit that I'm a piece of this, a piece of that. I admit I'm up and down. I admit I'm intelligent. I admit some days I'm the dumbest person in the world. But you know what? I am me. That's all that matters. And I want all of us to remember that. To remember how we look at something and to hurt our feelings and how instantaneously we get to froze. This time it did not happen because this time that automatic hate surely did not show up. It was the, this is an Eckhart Tolle matter. Let's figure that out. Again, looking for my give a fuck is finding that you don't give a fuck. But you do give a fuck. Isn't that amazing? It's a double-edged sword, so is social media. So is life. There was, I think I have like 3 minutes. I'll end on that. So the bottom line is, if you got something to say, First Amendment right, you can do so. I just ask that you put Miss Shepherd so I get all the respect on the hatred there, right? And then that's sick sounding, but, you know, gotta be a bitch. I am a bitch. They forgot that part, the bitch part, right? But there was this, also going back to, it just doesn't make sense. You look at these posts, not my posts, but you look at these quotes, and these quotes are so confusing. What does this quote say? Oh, yeah, here it is. This quote says, it's from, it's a Facebook post. It says, it's from Raising Your Frequency, which I love their post. But today, yesterday I was reading this one, and it says, today's affirmation, courage starts with showing up and letting ourselves be seen. Again, today's confirmation, courage starts with showing up and letting ourselves be seen. Showing up, letting ourselves be seen. I think showing up is important. But letting ourselves be seen, isn't that ego-driven? Just show the fuck up. Why do you have to be seen? If you show up, and it's a show up where other people are going to be, you're going to be seen. So it's basically telling you show up and show out, kind of. Show up and let them know ain't nothing about you. Just show the fuck up. Be you. I think if you're going to a happy Christmas party in a bad mood, you might not want to show up being in a bad mood, but you know what? Show up and be of the best mood that the environment has to give you, right? You don't go and be all mad when you're, you know, a happy environment, you know, happy gathering, you go all ugly. That's not what this is saying. This is saying it's like, you know, courage just starts with showing up. No, courage doesn't start with showing up. It starts with showing in. I have no idea what that means, but it was clear in my heart to say that. Start with showing in. So, what did we talk about on the show? About me, right? No, it's really imperative that as you, this is what I'm saying is so great about these tools, if you take a moment in time. And I checked out how my reaction was. And then I work from there. If I were to work completely off the ego, I'd still be mad. No, I'm not upset. In fact, it helped me come out and say, you guys, just let it go. If you hate me, hate me. But just put Miss Shepherd, like, you know, Miss Jackson at the nest. And I mean it. And I'm excited I had, like, an ego breakthrough today. So one thing on 30 seconds, one thing is if a friend or someone does something out of the ordinary and looks like, wait a minute, that's normally not what Tasha would do if this was so important in this case. You know, take a minute. Take a minute before you assume and judge. I learned that today too. And definitely. She's like, dude, I thought you saw that, right? So friends are not really going to hurt you. Sometimes friend needs to hear sometimes how much you admire them and how much they have helped you, whether you're speaking to them or not. Those are my two best friends. I'll never, ever forget. Okay, you guys, that was a great show. Until next Sunday, make good memories, stay out of trouble, or stay in trouble. Be good, take care of yourself.
I'm going to come right back down. We got to start putting the shit off the tree.
Tazzer Razzer? Tazzer, I'm right here. Come here. Taz.
Hey, good boy. Tabitha, what are you doing? You go pee-pee? Okay, go pee-pee. That's a good boy. Go pee-pee. That's a good boy.
Tell me your revenge, Heavy. Where's your revenge?
Huh?
No, I don't want you to eat that stuff.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to move that in a second. Let me just finish my hair.
How'd you get
off? Oh, you need to move it, Pat. You can go, Albie.
No, you don't need to lick it.
You can just like lick the residue.
No, I'm not feeding you. I know I fed you right when I woke up about a couple hours ago, so you do not need to eat yet.
Where's my doo-doo? Heather?
I'll go downstairs. My little dirty face baby.
Yo, BP? Come here. Thank you.
Heather.
Thank you.
They might be. You know how your people
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. It has all my superfoods and